All right, here we go. Give me a count around, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show! All right,
that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. But the stone then go to the DLMGS.org. And I see challenges at linuxtech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 958 of the Linuxling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Almost July already.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And I guess the big news, huh? How was it, man?
Southeast Linux Fest. It was a blast as always.
So how long did it take you to get there?
Roughly. Because I got old man bladder, you know. I had to stop like 2 or 3 times each way. So about 7 hours total.
Well, that's not bad.
No, I stopped like in West Virginia on the way down, then made a pit stop on the West Virginia Turnpike. And then I'm trying to remember.
What time did you leave
at? About 11 or 12, I think.
On Friday? Or was that Thursday?
No, Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, the worst part was is I had to do running around. Like, I was trying to go to my credit union where I had some money saved up. And I go into the first one, the one I usually go to, the closest to the house. And sheer branching is down, so I had to go to another one. But then I finally got on the road not long after that. I already filled up, like, oh, that's right, I had to stop for gas. I forgot about that. I was kind of trying to stop where it was lower than $5 and actually did manage to do that. On the way down. On the way up, I just filled up that little gas station that's like right next to the hotel there. I just filled up there the night before, and then after the last talk, got out at 11-ish. I hit the road not long after that. But the last talk I saw was the making Ansible suck less.
Hold on. Before you get to that.
Yeah.
Before you get to that. So you rolled in on Thursday at around between 7 and 8 o'clock?
More closer to 7, yeah.
All right, so around 7 o'clock. And yep. Did you know anybody there? Did you see anybody?
Thursday was, there wasn't a whole lot of people there. I didn't see many people until Friday.
Were you staying at the Sheridan?
Yeah, I did see Jeremy right away. Jeremy and his big old dog, Fred. And they were setting up, and Friday ended up being a little bit bumpy because when the pandemic happened, they chose that time, since there's nobody there, to remodel everything downstairs in the area where the fest was. And unfortunately, that also meant they tore out all the network cabling in the ceiling. So they had to wire the network when they got there. And it took them.
Wait, so hold on a second.
Yeah.
They had already done the renovations and everything, right? They Correct. Weren't going on. Oh, and in that process, right. They tore out the networking. So, right. So actually, Southeast Linux Fest ran new networking for them?
Well, yeah, they had to.
I mean, did they actually run it through the walls and everything, or did they
No, it was mostly the fiber that they had in the ceiling. See, the hotel let them keep most of their network in, so really, at least before the remodel, and they just left it in the ceiling. But they tore the whole ceiling out, put new ceiling tiles and all that stuff in. So since that was all tore out, they had to kind of put it back in.
Okay, so they just replaced what they tore out.
Basically, so registration and the talks kind of were delayed a little bit on Friday. Plus, we did have several cancellations. One of them was a talk I wanted to attend because of COVID. The speaker came down with it before he got there.
Well, that sucks.
So, actually, no. Before he left, probably. So, he just couldn't come. But I'm trying to remember what I even had to look at the schedule.
Would you have for dinner on Thursday night?
Bojangles.
Oh, missed. You stayed at the Sheraton, though, right? Did you go swimming?
Yeah. I was just kind of going around the corner. I did go swimming. But...
the indoor-outdoor pool? I like that. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a little cold, though.
The pool was cold?
Yeah, the pool was. So.
Well, it was probably high as hell, wasn't it?
It was actually probably in the 80s, I think, that weekend. I think towards the tail end it got to the 90s, but okay. So here I got the schedule pulled up. The first talk I went to was on Dark Table. And I like the talk, but he kind of explained how he basically said, well, Darktable is not an open source version of Lightroom, which really kind of is true, kind of isn't. I mean, I get why he's calling that. He's being very kind of purist about it, you know, trying to say. And I get what he was saying, but it was kind of hard to get the gist of all the Darktable can do within an hour. At least that's what was my feeling. It was a good talk, though.
Is Darktable open source?
It is.
Okay. But it's not like the open source version of Lightable. There's what he's saying is there was differences. Lightroom. There's differences. Yeah. Okay.
Basically, that he was seeing Darktable a little bit more mathematical about what it does than Lightroom is. So I ended up not... I basically went to lunch, and here's the kicker. This kind of happened both Friday and Saturday. They only had one truck show up, and it was the ice cream truck.
Oh, no.
So I had to go get some lunch. I went, and I think I grabbed some Wendy's or something. Nothing special. Oh, wait. Was it? No. Yeah, that was Wendy's, because it was a dinner that night. I went over to Ichiban, which the last time I ate there was with our good friend Fitty. So... so 5150.
Oh yeah, I remember Ichiban's like right across the highway, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
They had sushi and Chinese and Asian foods of sorts.
Wait, this was Friday or Thursday?
Friday, I ate there.
Wait, so you went to Thursday. The Darktable talk?
Talk and then lunch.
Oh, okay. So then you went to Ichiban for lunch.
Right.
With anybody?
Actually, no. That one, I went to Wendy's. That's what I went to on that one.
Oh.
So, and I wasn't going to go to the intro to Ranger Desktop, but I ended up getting occupied with the best part about going to a Linux Fest, the hallway track. So, I didn't do that one, but then I went to Matthew
What was
Higgins.
Occupying you in the hallway track?
I don't remember. I was just talking with it, and that was probably the best part of being there, is just being able to talk to guys who have the same language I do. And I don't mean English. I mean
geek,
you know.
Yeah, right, okay.
So it's not like I can talk about that stuff amongst anybody but you guys and people at the Linux Fest. But the next talk I went to was Linux is the future, but what will that look like for end users? What saved the talk on this one was the Q&A he had at the end. The discussion got really good at the end. I didn't quite care for how he presented. Kind of surprised me. The guy who did it was an English teacher by trade, but he kept saying, "But anyways," it was really noticeable. But it turned out okay. So then,
so what's the future going to look like for Unusers?
Well, I think the general thing is that I think we're not really, you know, for the general layperson, they're not going to use Linux for their desktop necessarily, like we might. But they're going to use Linux. You know, like, it's like kind of cool. I called Dad on, like, right as I was getting back to the Central Ohio area, and he's like, "Well, Linux is never going anywhere." I said, "Dad, you're using Linux every day when you use your phone, and that's how Linux is going to be used." Because Android's Linux, essentially. So, but it was a good talk. Now, one that kind of, the next talk I went to was pushing open hardware into space. Now, was a little bit disappointed in this talk, just a little bit, because I thought here they were going to talk about building Linux systems that are going to go to space on the IIS, and, you know, and maybe the Dragon capsule. What it ended up being a talk done by Aaron Honeycutt, who works for System 76, and they're talking about their Thelios desktop, which they have at least four different levels of when you go to buy one on their website. But the cool thing is the everything from the metal to the manufacturing of the case was done in the United States, and with metal sourced in the United States, with wood, yes, I said wood, sourced in the United States, because it has a panel of wood veneer on the case itself. It's a beautiful system. If you go to System 76's website, you can see what it is. But it ranges from the starting price is $999. And depending on how you price it out, once you get to looking at like the Mega, it could be as much as $10,000, depending on how much storage and stuff you put in it.
Wait, which one is this? The Thelio Mira?
That's the that, like the middle around the Thelio desktop line. Okay. So the whole line, the casing is made there, and they developed their own I/O panel, which basically the everything is toolless. So like the drives just slide in. You don't have to have a screwdriver to slide stuff in. But it's a really beautiful case, kind of expensive, and they also showed the keyboard. What's the name of the keyboard?
Kayla? Or Kale?
Yeah, I think. Hold on a minute.
The K-A-I-L-H, Box Jade Switches, or the Royal Switches?
That's the tactile switches.
Keyboard.
Yeah, that's the switches that are in it, but let me see what the actual name of the keyboard is. It's like $200-some for the keyboard.
Yeah, no, it's the K-A-I-L-H, Box Jade Switches.
Oh, okay. But that's not the name of it, though.
That's what it says on their website.
Well, they're horrible naming keyboards.
The keyboard options that you have, well, launch keyboard.
That's it. Launch keyboard. That's the name of it.
Oh, okay. So, I guess you don't choose one of these keyboards, do you? I mean, it comes with a keyboard, unless you want one of the more expensive ones.
Right. Yes.
Then they're $200 more.
Yep, like $285, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But the nice thing about that keyboard, the firmware is actually open firmware that runs the keyboard. And it comes with alternate colored keycaps and a keycap puller and everything.
So, what did that have to do with space?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
So it was
a weird name for the talk.
Okay, so it's just talking about putting open hardware into user space, maybe?
Maybe, I think.
It looks like something got cut off in the translation.
It's the launch. There's actually a full page for it. The System 76 launch keyboard. Which you can buy separately, by the way.
Okay.
So if you already have a machine, you can buy it.
See, I don't see that listed on their desktop. I don't see that listed in their website.
Like. Yeah, it's $285. If I search for it here, I'll give you a link.
Let's see, laptop. Okay, here we go. Launch configurable keyboard. Here, yep, there it is.
It's under merch.
Yeah. It's just like on the top of their website. I didn't see anything, a category for that. Woo! $149 for an MX Master 3 wireless mouse.
That's what they charge for a Logitech mouse, I think?
No, the MX Master 3 wireless mouse. I don't know
if it's a Logitech mouse.
Oh, is it open hardware, though?
I think so. No, the mouse probably isn't. The keyboard is, I think. But I think, going back to the desktop at the moment, I think even the firmware is open source, too, with that, like the EFI. Because I did notice they were giving out thumb drives, 8-gig thumb drives with Pop! OS already on them. So I grabbed a handful of those. And tried booting it up on one of my old systems. I may have to actually dispose of, because I think the trackpad's starting to go on it. It's one of my older systems, so not worth the effort to try and figure out how to fix it. Because what I think it might be is I'm wondering if the replacement battery I put in there years ago is now starting to puff out too on that one. But I did get it to load on there. I had to switch it to UEFI boot mode, but I did get Pop! OS to boot. Because Pop! OS by default, unlike Ubuntu, doesn't install Grub. So it just boots off of the UEFI.
You know what? I have to say, the keyboard is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The keyboard is beautiful. It looks solid. It looks fantastic.
But do you
want to
spend $285 on a keyboard?
I mean, I can't see that happening, because
the only way I'd spend that much is if I'm replacing one in a laptop.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, not for nothing, but I don't think I would take advantage of a keyboard at that level.
No.
I mean, I'm like, I'm fine with a keyboard that if it gets broken, I'll just slap another one in its place for like $10. But if this, you know, $285, that's more expensive than the laptops I own.
So, well, if you own used laptops, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful though.
Yeah, so Friday, I did go over to Ichiban for dinner by myself. I will say it was definitely a smaller year. There wasn't as many vendors. It was very heavy, very community heavy. The only vendors I would say that were there was System 76 and IX Systems. So, and even then, the IX Systems was more talking about TrueNAS than was about actual hardware. Couple vendors that were scheduled to be there didn't show up because of COVID. But that the hallway was still pretty active. You did have Vine Drip, who was the Noah Shalai's company, who had the Ask Noah crew there. They did helped run a lot of live streaming. Saturday.
Did you talk with them?
Not really. I didn't. I was having too much fun. I did. Graybeard was there.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Another one. When the last time I was at Southeast Linux Fest, mm-hmm. I kind of got around, maybe talked to them. It felt like that crew of people kind of just like hung out with themselves.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was, I think.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it was like, if you felt like it was like that this time.
Yeah, I think it still was.
Now, did you go to the Friday party?
I did. They had the beer as usual, and it was sponsored this time.
And Gray Beer was there?
Yeah, Gray Beer was there.
That's awesome. Wait, yep, did Murph go?
Murph didn't go, so I didn't see him there at all. It would have been hard to miss him because I don't know. I'm trying to gauge how many was there. I'll have to hit up Jeremy for the numbers later of the actual people. There might be more people that have attended it virtually than actually came there. But there's that.
Did you play cornhole?
Jeremy did. I watched him. But I actually think I don't know if you did you ever meet his brother, because his brother was there this year.
I think so.
So, but that was Friday night. Saturday, I kind of woke up a little late, but I did get to go see half of Darren Little's talk on the SDR, or Software Defined Radio. It was more, the 11 o'clock was more interesting because he went to the hall next to that, and he actually fired up some of the software-defined radios that he had. He had like a HackRF one and a couple of the RTL SDR dongles that you can buy for like between $30 and $40. So that was really interesting. He talked about he works for like a hospital system, I think, and they had some critical piece of equipment that kept interrupting, for whatever reason, that critical equipment test via Wi-Fi. I don't know why, but it did. And it kept getting interrupted. And come to find out, he took one of his little software-defined radios with him to work. And they come to find out that the pharmacy bought, because they're running around the pharmacy, they didn't want to have to constantly run back to the corded phone to pick up new orders from doctors and stuff. So they bought a cordless phone. It was a 2.4 gigahertz cordless phone that was causing the interruption in the hardware equipment. So they bought them a 900 megahertz phone, and that solved their interference problem. So that was kind of cool. But he also did, like, one of the demos he did, he tuned up one of the local FM station. This is something that, like, if you have a modern vehicle, like both mine would probably do this, and you tune the stereo, to the FM on the stereo to one of your local stations, you're gonna probably see what song's being played in the station call letters on your stereo display. That's called RDS, and he actually showed you where that signal lives among the FMs in the FM signal, and so that was pretty neat. But that was a really cool, not so much Linux, but definitely ham radio oriented there. I was going to go to, the Mark Ulmer's. No, I ended up skipping the next hour because a good friend of ours, Amber Grainer, showed up. She was on her way back from Toronto, and since she just flew in that day, she stopped at the Southeast Linux Fest, and that was a really good time chatting with her, talking about I'm trying to remember who she works for now, but she's like a vice president for community at a different company than she was before. So and I got to have a ride in her Challenger, which is pretty awesome. We got up on Scott Few Trail, and she started running through the gears, and we were going 75 miles an hour down Scott Few Trail. That's the road the hotel's on.
Wait, but, what was this for lunch?
No, we didn't go to lunch. This is actually after lunch when that happened. So lunch, I think I just grabbed Bojangles again.
Wait, I wasn't driving around. Did you go to Alan Hicks's talk?
I did actually, and I think.
Wait, what was the one you went to between the SDR and? Oh, you skipped.
I think I skipped it because I was going to the Birds of a Feather thing that Daryl did as
well. Oh, okay, so that's what you meant. That's so I was like, I didn't see
him. I did go to Alan Hicks talk. Yeah.
And how was that?
It was really, really good because watching Alan talk about anything is just entertaining in and of itself. But he brought out a lot of good points. Probably the biggest one is that a lot of companies just don't want to spend the money on rewriting their applications to work with IPv6. So it's going to just depend on where the companies that you work with and deal with. Like, for example, if you happen to work with, like, a say, a cell phone provider, they're more likely to have IPv6 than a lot of other companies. And the switch isn't just a matter of adding bits onto the address space. There's a lot more to IPv6 than IPv4. So hopefully they post them the talks on their YouTube channel, which they do have one, where they posted the ones from 2 years ago. So we'll see if that happens. But Alan's talk was pretty good. I went out and grabbed lunch, then came back, and I was having some ice cream when Amber got there. So it was pretty neat. And I skipped the next the one. Oh, I remember what it was. One of the talks Saturday that I want to go to. The speaker was out.
Was that the Nmap one?
No, actually, it was the Take This Job and Shove It one, I think. So, I should have went to the Nmap one, but I was too busy having fun talking with Amber.
Okay.
And everybody else there. We were just kind of walking around, and she met up with, like, Eugene Ma and a couple of the other folks there. So then we just I sat next to Amber. We went and attended Eric Raymond's talk, Dynamiting the Software Forges, and basically he talked about the Shimmer project that he's putting together on GitLab. And I'm gonna have to pull that up on GitLab to see what exactly it is. Basically using Git for kind of managing, like, project communications. As giving things, there it is. It's on GitLab right now, until eventually they're going to put it on Davis is a tool to manage issues, merge requests, or mailing list message threads in a Git repository.
What does that mean?
That's a good question.
Project is a manager for embedding project assets, including issue, merge requests, and mailing list threads.
Yeah, and they just had that was the first talk that he ever talked about it, and probably released the code just about, some of it got released a month ago, but some of them have commits within the last week. So, he actually has some other guy, I know they are actively looking for someone to do some web development on this so that it can have a web front end to it. So it's kind of interesting. It just depends on what you use. His goal was to get some of the functionality that SourceForge and some of the others have had. So actually the last commit was he added a version number field to the JSON 3 days ago. So, but it was a good talk. Watching him talk is always fun.
Is this like Is this like a tool that allows you to like take your GitHub repository off of like GitHub or GitLab and host it anywhere else and yet retain all of the metadata or whatever?
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I might be misunderstanding some of it, but that's okay. And then they had the Saturday party was not sponsored, but they did, I think Jeff Probst ended up buying pizza for the fest. They brought, just like you did in 18, they had stacks and stacks of Domino's coming in.
And then that was like a BYOB thing where...
Yeah, just like, yeah. Was, yep. That, well, it was probably BYOB plus...
Sure.
Beer they had left over from the night before.
Okay.
But so and he had a table with locks on it for the lock picking village, but you had to bring your own pick set. I didn't have one. And then Sunday I attended Jeff Probst's talk on making Ansible suck less, and I kind of found out after sitting watching it that a lot of what he was talking about doing was stuff we're already doing. So just to make working with Ansible a little bit better, you know, instead of like some of the things were like, instead of just copying and pasting the same code over and over again, develop a library, things like that. Also, he ragged on Ansible Tower, which I don't know. I've never used Ansible Tower. Probably a good thing.
But because he ragged on it?
Yeah, well, like for a good example is like you can go in there and you can like run an Ansible script from Ansible Tower, but you can't actually look at the script from within the web interface. So you can't bring up the YAML file, so but and that's just one of many problems he had with the Ansible Tower. So probably a good thing I'm not using it. So, but then right after that, I jumped on the road, headed home.
Had another 7 hours?
Had to make that embarrassing. Like, I got, like, to Circleville, which is, like, you know, just a few minutes from the house. And I had to make an emergency pit stop or it was going to have a problem, you know. But because I was trying not to stop too much. And when I did stop, like, I didn't stop and sit down to eat. I just grabbed something and went. I just wanted to get home because no one likes driving for 6 hours. But I took my HF radio with me and I never even got it out. I probably should have never mess with it. It's just there's so much going on and it's so fun just being around the community and talking to people, you know. That's mm-hmm. really the fun part of going to Linux Fest is the hallway track, as always. I got some cool swag. Rocky Linux had a table there and they gave away these little they kind of vaguely look like a shaving kit, but they're smaller, you know, so that's good for, like, throwing, like, some thumb drives in or some pencils or charging cables. That'd be a good thing, like, if you're packing, like, your chargers and stuff in your suitcase for your phone, throw them in there so that they stay together. So things like that. System 76 had thumb drives. SUSE was there also, and they gave away probably the smallest Legos. They were like Legos, but they're really tiny. It's like I started to try and put it together. It basically was going to make a little SUSE lizard. I ended up tossing them because I'm just like, I could not deal with it. It's like, Legos are small enough. Why'd you have to go and make them smaller? Definitely not kid friendly. So if you got a set, keep them away from your kid, especially if they're a young one, because these wouldn't pass any safety things. They're so small. But it was, as always, it was good. In the area, I don't really think anything was really new. You know, about the same as it was in 2019. I'm trying to remember if the Wendy's might have been new, but and they had there was a McDonald's right across from where Bojangles was. But it looks like they did one of the things where it seems like, I don't know if it's happening in your area too, but it seems like in every area I've ever been, if they had an older McDonald's, they instead of just remodeling it, they tore it down and rebuild it. Which seems
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, McDonald's does that, and Wendy's has done that too. Rather than just fix the building they already had, they just tore it down and built a new one. So, whatever. I get it. But, yeah, I'd still recommend going there again. It was a lot of fun. I wish more people were there. Yeah, I saw a... I'm horrible at names, so if I... There's some people that if I go next year and they're there, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember you from last year. What was your name? I'm horrible at new people names of people I haven't seen before. So, but wish I could have stayed later, but I really wanted to get on the road because I had to get to work Monday morning. Because guess what we did over the weekend? We upgraded Versions of Snow, and it's been a shit show all week.
Versions of what? ServiceNow.
Yeah, like I go into like now they added another fucking layer. Now there's project tasks, and it's like, oh my god, really? So,
what's a project task do?
Basically, like for annual plan things, like things that we do all the time throughout the year, like the regular software updates and maintenance and stuff. Those go into what's called in the old system they used to just call it an annual plan. But in the new system, they still call it an annual plan, but they create a project for it, and the project will be owned by the SDM. And then they will, from the project, they'll create project tasks, which get assigned to admins. So, and for each project task, there can only be one change, which is stupid. But anywho, basically just added a whole nother layer of crap. So, hopefully you don't use ServiceNow like we do. I know Dan does, but
I end up having to use it like once every couple of like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's always a nightmare.
Whenever you need something from IT, right? Yeah.
It's a shit show.
Completely. But
Ay. Shit show.
So yeah, that's kind of why I left when I did on Sunday. I just like, I knew it was going to be a nightmare this week, and I was right. I did get some documentation updated in our Confluence today, and now that it's back. Yeah. If you have Confluence and have it internet hosted now, bring it back in. There's Atlassian had announced there was a pretty bad vulnerability in it, so it should be, if you're using it internally, you're probably going to be fine, but it there's actually a bad vulnerability now that's being exploited, so.
On their hosted version?
No, I think even if you had it, you know, just set up your own server.
Because I'm pretty sure our Atlassian hosts our Confluence, but
You might be okay then.
We make an effort not to put anything compromising in there. Like, there are no passwords or identifiable information other than DNS names. I guess you could call that identifiable. But anyway, yeah. I'll tell you what, I will use the hell out of Confluence any day over Knowledge Base, which is inside of ServiceNow, another piece of crap. A nightmare. Do you use Knowledge? Did you use Knowledge Base portion of ServiceNow?
Not exact. Well, we started to, but
and then you said no way.
Well, no. Well, that was part of it. But the other part was, this is kind of merging to our area, plus, you know, SAS also uses it as well. But they brought our customer center folks used to use, of all things, Salesforce.
Okay.
For their stuff, so they merged their stuff into our stuff, so they use ServiceNow too. What's kind of nice though is if a client goes to them and opens up a ticket and then they need us to do things like to grab logs and stuff, they can create a case task and assign that to us, and then they still own it. And there's only one case that ever has to be updated. And the great thing is I can see that case too. So, where before I couldn't see the stuff inside Salesforce. So, but, and they really did a nice job with the external website that there's like an employee site, and there's also a site that the customers use. We use different ones, so we have a much greater ability to search things that the action line would use than we used to. So that's all good. So, but it's been bumpy because, like, right now it's like, we still have stuff that, like, we have changes that need to be finished out in the old ServiceNow, and we have to do that this week. After that, they're gone. So, but fortunately, the SDMs or customer service delivery managers are moving stuff into the new snow that has to, you know, that was due to be completed after this week. So. But so now it's like, okay, well, you were working on this change for them last week. Okay, now you have a problem. Okay, so how do you open a case for them? It's difficult. So, because normally we would just create a case task. Well, we can't do that in the new one because they won't get it. So, or old one, I mean. So. But hey, Humble Bundle, let's talk about something more fun. Humble Bundle has a decent deal going on right now on their website. It's a Star Trek library by Hero Collector. Basically, a whole bunch of books. If you spend at least 25, you get a book on Starfleet ships. From the Star Trek shipyards, 2294 to the future. Then we also get one from 2151 through 2293. You get a book of Star Trek cocktails. There's a book on the Enterprise 1701D, the original series. Really, so many books, I don't want to list them all here, but there's even a book of Grudge. That's the book's cat from Star Trek Discovery. So, the upside is it actually, this purchase is going to charity. So, that's a good thing. They've raised over $19,000 in charity. So, if you like Star Trek, that's worth picking it up.
The Star Trek cocktails.
Yeah, that one looks kind of interesting if you're a drinker.
And even if you're not, it's got some, like, a lot of Star Trek lore in it, if you're really interested in Star Trek. Because you could just look at the little bit.
Yeah, the sample, yeah. It talks about kind of how the attitudes have changed through Star Trek, and like with the invention of Synthahol, which was on the Enterprise D, had Synthahol, where you basically had all the taste of it, but you didn't get inebriated, didn't get a hangover, stuff like that.
My only problem with this is not this problem. It's a lot of it's PDFs.
Yeah.
And I always find PDFs, like PDF-based books, a pain in the ass to read.
Especially if you're trying to read it on a Kindle.
or does anything save the like bookmark where you are in a PDF? I mean, I haven't tried in a while. I know that was always a problem.
I thought the standard Acrobat one did. Like on Android.
Well, maybe it does.
I don't know.
Like slow and everything. But they still, I mean, God, they're gorgeous. The artwork and everything in these shipyard books.
I might have to do that. I might have to pick that up because it's only $25. That's the lowest, but they got other stuff in there. It looks like, I don't know how much Humble is doing anything on with regards to Linux gaming anymore, which is kind of a bummer. The upside, though, is at least Linux runs Steam now, so... But the developer still has to make the changes he needs to make in order to get it running on Steam.
Yeah, I don't know. The Humble Bundle games. I don't know why you would. What's the difference between buying them on Steam and just buying them through Humble? I guess a pricing, maybe? I don't know.
Could be. Well, and the other nice thing is with Steam is like all you have to do is load Steam on it and your library's there. You just download it and install it. And then you don't have to save the download somewhere. But a lot of other, like I bought stuff off of GOG, and that's been fine. You know, I just got a new laptop, I set up the GOG app. It basically has the same kind of thing as Steam has, just like Epic has now. And Epic is I think what Epic does primarily Fortnite, I think.
Well, Epic does Fortnite. They do other things. One of the big things is Fortnite. I guess... you have, like, looking through this list, just on the front page, it's like most of them are either going to be Steam. What's this one? Platform. God, good old games. So I guess it's, you get a key for that specific platform to run it on Steam or good old games or Epic. And then it depends on what operating systems the actual game supports. Like on their front page, I just a cursory look at the games list. I see there's City Skylines that has Linux. It's off of Steam. Valheim, Linux, off of Steam. And what else did I see? Wasteland 3, Linux via Steam. And what else? Civilization 6, Linux support via Steam. I say Linux support, but it's just Linux. Early access to 7 Days to Die. That's Linux. It's off of Steam. So there you go. There you go, Joel. They still do games.
It's like, why do I want to buy the or something I was trying to think. I can't remember at the moment.
Capcom bundle. You get Monster Hunter, Devil May Cry 5, Devil May Cry HD Collection, Monster Hunter Rise, 50% off coupon, Street Fighter 5, Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, Devil May Cry, the original one, Ultimate Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5 Champion Edition, 50% upgrade kit, 50% off coupon, Strider and Bionic Commando. Redeem on Steam and play on Windows. There's your bundle for you, Joel. Happy, humble bundle. But the Star Trek one does look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there you go.
And now I'm trying to buy it. And
we don't want your money, Joel. We don't want your money.
No, what's the CVC code? And my wallet's downstairs.
Oh, you don't have your CVC code memorized?
I thought I did, but I guess I don't.
Uh-oh.
I'll be right back.
Oh, man. Well, Joel's going to gather his CVC code. Have just been having some wonderful times at work, playing around with setting up the infrastructure and automation for new applications, both Kubernetes-based applications, container-based, and Google Cloud Functions. Being able to play around with that stuff, setting up alerting, streamlining all that, working with Google Cloud Services, interesting stuff. I actually got to set up a scheduled job in Google Cloud to drop a message on a PubSub topic to kick off an event once a week. And it was very anticlimactic and easy, done through Terraform. It didn't even feel like work at all, just define it in there. And then it was able to be pushed out through all our environments with the push of a button. Too easy. Fun. But that was good. Didn't mess anything up that I can recall this week, which is a good thing. Nothing that was out in production and caused an outage. We did that 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago where I made a change, and that was the whole Fastly caching thing. Going through shielding was causing that issue. But got that all cleared up, so that was good. Now we're going to implement region awareness. Because right now we do have region. We are in east and west in the Google Cloud computing, and we're not using it region specific yet. That's what we want to get to. Right now, it's just a fail safe that if for some reason east is not available, it would fail over to west. You could use either one. So now we're going to implement that. If you're closer to the west coast, it's going to give you via through the west region, and east is going to the east region. And then it breaks it up. I think if you're in Western or be Eastern Asia, that region, Eastern Asia, is going to go through the West Coast, United States, and then Western European would go through East Coast, United States. And I'm not exactly sure where the dividing line is, what decides that on the other side of the world. Some I probably need to look at. But it's all done based through their Fastly region codes and where a request is coming in from. Pretty straightforward stuff. They make it easy. Just write some VCL, push that out automatically, and everybody's happy. As long as you don't screw something up with caching again. But that's been the excitement. There, we're getting ready to do the upgrade to PHP 8.1. I believe we're on 7.7, so I want to say 7.9, but I might not be 100% sure on that. But 8.1 on our content management system, starting the testing for that and implementing that. I got to say, VIP, and I'm not sure if I made this clear a couple weeks ago, but they have a tool that they put out. And VIP is a hosting service for WordPress. They have something called VIP CLI, and in that has a testing product that you just run the, you tell it what environment that you want to build a local version of, you know, your development, staging, or production environment. And then it will, using containers, stand up locally a VIP environment, which is WordPress with all the VIP stuff on there, configured with the database and everything ready to go so that you can test your code on there at the click of, just answering a few questions. And it is beautiful. Unfortunately, we can't take advantage of that because we started down the varying vagrants or whatever it is, which is a nice tool, but it's a little more hands-on with configuration and everything. And because it's integrated through Okta, it was already decided of the local domain that we were using. And I do believe, I think I brought this up, but we're using a local domain, which gets set up in the hosts table. So Okta redirects back to that local domain on the system. Whereas with the VIP CLI tool, it does it through, I can't remember the product, the tool that they have in there, but you don't have a way of changing or assigning through the host table that kind of functionality and connectivity in there to switch it over to using the local domain that we use so that Okta can redirect properly, which is the unfortunate thing. I tried looking into it, like, is there a way that we could kind of trick this into thinking it, but it the load balancer that it uses, I haven't been able to figure out how to make that happen, because now that scripting that's done is not, it's done by the tool, so it's not available to make those changes, or there's no interface to make those changes or configuration to, which is unfortunate, but it is a pretty cool tool. I like System 76's hardware and what Joel was talking about. I wish I could afford it. But it's pretty cool. I will say that. I wish I could have been at Southeast Linux Fest with Greybeard, who said he loves it. It was the best thing since sliced bread. But unfortunately, it just wasn't in the cards. What else is going on? I have to change my IP addresses soon because Cox is making some infrastructure changes, And I feel like that's going to be a bit of a pain in the butt because I have to go out there and switch all my DNS records around, as well as updating the equipment here with that new information. And probably going to take a day or two to propagate everything out. Yeah, usually I don't have a problem. Most DNS changes that I ever do take a couple of minutes, but they always say, you know, it's possible things could take a day or two. But we'll see. Do I still love Cox? I have to say, I haven't had any problems with Cox. I don't know if I would go as far as to say I love them. They've been pretty good to me. Yeah, the one thing I guess, and this isn't Cox specific, it's just ISPs in general. So I have business class, and business class is dedicated line and enhanced support without any restrictions on what you can run. And that's why I run my own email server, my own web server, all this other stuff. And I do it out of the house. And so there's no restrictions. You know, I'm blocked on any port. I have to mess around with that kind of stuff. Now, the trade-off is because it's a dedicated line, I'm guaranteed specific bandwidth, and I'm not sharing it with my neighbors who are using the consumer-based service. But whereas they can get like incredible download speeds, and their upload speeds can go a lot higher than mine, so long as, you know, it's on a shared channel and there's not people hogging that. Whereas my upload and download, comparatively speaking, are nowhere near theirs, but it's guaranteed. And I haven't had an issue with it or a problem based on that. But, you know, I'm like, I pay roughly $100 a month for that, just the internet service. Whereas for that same price, I could probably triple my download speed, maybe quadruple it, and double the upload speed. But that comes with all the other restrictions involved, shared lines, not dedicated. The support isn't as good, I would say. I've always had really great support because it's business class support. So I'm working on the consumer side. I have no idea. So I can't really say, I don't know, but I don't have any restrictions on the services I run. So, I will say I've been happy with Cox's service. What I had prior to Cox, I'm trying to think here. So I have Fastnet, and then I went from Fastnet. This is back in Pennsylvania, to Speakeasy, and they were Speakeasy was fantastic. Again, that was a service where, like, they didn't provide any, there was no restrictions, and it was a little more expensive, not too much more expensive than DSL at the time. But they were good. But when I moved down here, there was no Speakeasy of availability down here. So I went with Cox, and I've been with Cox ever since, and they've been good to me. I will say this, they've been good to me. So yeah, Murph, I still love my Cox. Good old, maybe Joel didn't make it back. Maybe he's dead.
No, I'm here.
All right, we're talking about he's my back. Cox, Joel.
Everybody loves the Cox.
Yeah.
And dicks.
Oh. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good.
One of your sons graduated, right?
Yeah, my older guy graduated from high school.
And the other one is he's done with school now, right?
Yeah, he's done. He finished his freshman year.
Ah, so he had the finals and everything, and now he's finished.
He's done.
And you got big plans for the summer?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Nope. My next is 4th of July weekend here in a few weeks. We're going to go to a cabin at Lake Hope. Gonna go hiking and cook some food. Maybe fishing.
Catch yourself some sunnies.
I don't know what they have down there. I have to see what they typically have stocked down there.
Hey Pat, does that what's the river that goes through Easton? Is that thing still flooding all the time?
The Bushkill?
Is that it? Is that the one that goes right through this, like, right near town, and it floods all the time?
Well, you got the Delaware right there.
Yeah, and maybe it is the Delaware that's right. What I'm thinking of. Yeah.
The Bushkill flows into the Delaware.
Yeah, yeah. Is it still having flooding issues all the time?
When there's a massive hurricane blowing through, and it rains for, like, you know, 4 days straight.
Yeah, you'll have that.
According to Ohio DNR's website. According to Ohio DNR's website, Lake Hope should have bluegill, catfish, crappie, and largemouth bass. It's definitely not as big as probably the coolest thing about the drive down to Charlotte is driving across Lake Norman. That's a huge lake where a lot of the NASCAR folks are big hunters and fishermen. That's where they fish when they're home, anyway. And so I'll call this glamping because it's in a cabin. So
that's where you're going to Lake Harmon?
No, Lake Norman is in Charlotte. I'd love to go down there, but no, we're going to Lake Hope State Park.
Wait, Lake Harmon or Lake Norman?
Lake Hope, as in
no. Which the lake you were saying you went past? You went through?
Oh, Lake Norman.
Oh, Lake Norman. Trying to see.
Googles it to see how big it is. It's huge.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty big. So that's all around 77.
Yep.
Wait, where's Charlotte?
Charlotte's just south of that. This is you go through Statesville, yeah. If you're coming down 77, yeah.
I think I went past it once. You know what? Maybe not. Yeah. No, you know what? I don't think I did. Because
you went down through there to when you lived in PA, maybe?
No. See, what ended up happening was... No, I'm thinking of... I think it's 79.
Well, that's up on over by Pittsburgh, though.
No, it's got to be 79. No, I must have... See, I'm thinking of
when you came in, you probably came in on a I-40, I think.
No, when I go in, we come in on 85. So I
when I go
visit my mother-in-law, I get 85 to 77, but I'm hitting 77 down in Charlotte. But when I came through, when the one year we went out to Charlottesville to visit Paige before going down.
Oh, that's Virginia. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it wasn't that. So, yeah, I was thinking, did we take 77 at that point? But no, I think it was 7. It wasn't 77. But it went down. Yeah, Charlottesville. Oh, 29 to, went through Lynchburg. Yeah, I think it was 29. Why am I thinking 70 something? So 29 connected up in Greensboro with 85. So, yeah.
The excitement there talking about routes.
Gotta love it, huh? But no, I don't think I have seen Lake Norman. It looks pretty huge. Did you go over it?
Yeah, parts I had of to it? Go over it. Yeah, I had is, to go over parts a, of it. Yeah.
Is that a big bridge?
It's not the biggest bridge I've ever been on, but it's more like, those are more like, I don't know. I don't think you can actually go under them. I'd have to look, because it doesn't see, doesn't feel like a bridge.
Okay. So it's not like the Hampton Roads Bridge. It's not like the Chesapeake Bay Bridge tunnel, right?
No, no.
And it's not like one of those, like huge support bridge. What the hell do they call it? Like the Golden Gate Bridge?
No, it's not like that at all. No. Yeah. If it is a bridge, there's not much between the bottom of the bridge and the water. But they do have a marine, like marinas on both sides of things, I think. Well, put it this way, I've always seen boats on both sides of the bridge. So
you're going to Lake Hope.
Much smaller lake.
So Lake Hope State Park?
Yes, sir.
Let's see the map. Where is it? It's like a creek. Right, compared to Lake Norman.
Well, compared to Lake Norman, yeah.
No, there you go.
It's still a lake. It's just not a very big one.
That's an interesting lake shape. It's
like a C, yeah.
Yeah, a C. Or a sickle. Looks like a sickle.
See, they do... There is a trail, I think... Like, you see the inner part of that? I think that's where the cabins are going to be.
Yeah, what the lake wraps around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's in there. It's not anywhere near the campground. So I think
where you're going to be backpacking?
Not so much backpacking. The longest trail is 3.2 miles.
Oh.
So it's not that bad, you know. And that kind of goes around the, like, from the beach, which is down by the dam. You see the flat part on the map, that's where the dam is.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it kind of goes around the lake all the way over to, if you see where it says Zaleski, if you're looking at Google Maps, it says Zaleski State Forest Backpack icon there. Near there, I think if you, let me see if you can see it when I zoom in. Somewhere around there is a there it is, Hope Iron Furnace. So that's where the trail ends. It's really that furnace. It was one of the original iron furnaces that were built by the settlers back in the day, where they'd smelt iron. That's not the only way. There's like several of them and throughout the region and actually right now the governor of places that have like some of the lodges will have a swimming pool either indoor or outdoor, and right now they waived all the fees because of the heat at least for the next week or so. Be kind of cool if I can go in the lodge and go swimming while I'm there. I'm hoping to at least go in there and eat once. That's probably one place we'll go to just when we don't feel like cooking.
And that's 4th of July weekend.
Yep. We're going to go down Friday, and we'll be back on the 4th of July. The only thing we don't have is, and that's the one thing I got to figure out is, now, by law in the state, we can set off fireworks in the state now. They're legal now.
But in a state park?
That's the question.
I was going to say, state park.
Right. Not likely. But granted, we've had so much rain, I don't think it would hurt nothing. But, and that's the other thing that kind of kills me. The governor's, you basically signed a law in, like, it goes into effect July 1st, where we're allowed to set them off on certain holidays, but your city can still say no. Which I'm still trying to figure out how that's possible, but it is. And And they've been illegal for years, but that's never stopped anybody in any place I've lived. I mean, we went when we lived up the apartment a year ago last November. God, it's hard for me to believe that was 2020, 2 years ago, this coming November. For Diwali, they were out there setting all kinds of fireworks off. So, it just shows you how much the police give a shit about fireworks. They pretty much don't.
I mean, especially on the 4th of July when you got a lot of other shit going on, too.
Well, and the way I look at it, too, is you know, the only time they would probably care is if you're being obnoxious about it and setting them off at, like, 1 or 2 in the morning. Which happened all the time, or used to live over in South Columbus. Listen to me, I'm saying over in South Columbus, and that's literally maybe 3 miles from here.
Wait, can you buy fireworks in Ohio?
Yes, we can.
Okay, because you can buy them here. Wait, I don't know if you can buy them. I think you can buy them in Virginia. You can buy them in a supermarket sometimes. But South Carolina, man, you can buy usually them all the does, time.
I was going to say, it's usually just sparklers.
But, yeah, South Carolina has, like, the real good shit. And I guess, I don't know if that law still exists in Pennsylvania where you can sell fireworks in Pennsylvania, but you can't buy them if you're a Pennsylvania resident. You can buy them. Oh, you can buy them now?
Yeah. They won't sell you rockets, Pennsylvania residents. So stupid. But they'll sell them to Jersey people.
Yeah, there you go. I know that. They have those couple of fireworks shops set up on the border.
There's like 4 of them.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do fireworks here this year. I haven't heard. I remember the one year they set the boat on fire. That was something. I guess it's time to start wrapping this up.
Yep. And before we have our next show, I'll be celebrating my 25th anniversary with my wife.
Happy anniversary. Where are you going anywhere?
It's a good question. We may just go to like a Texas Roadhouse or something, but Luke will probably be with us, and I don't care. So, well, I tried downloading those PDF files from those books from on my iPad, and they downloaded, but I don't know where the hell they went to. So I'll just download them and put it on a drive somewhere. And then I think you can copy them into your iPad library. That's where it would look the best.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of enjoy June.
Yep.
Happy anniversary to you, Joel. Enjoy
the
start of your summer, Pat. I get to enjoy a colonoscopy on Friday. And
best drugs you've ever had.
But there we go.
You'll have some strange dreams.
And it's the preparation I'm not looking forward to. The flush and fill tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fucking nasty.
Oh, that's tomorrow. Oh boy.
Yeah, the no eating and.
I am sure. You may want to move your laptop up by the bathroom.
Yeah. There we go. All right, here's our here's the promos and everything, and we'll see you in 7 days. Enjoy.
I am short.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
You off Monday for the federal holiday?
Yep.
Yeah, so am I.
But I do have a dental appointment on Monday. It's a dental appointment I had to move for my colonoscopy. So,
figure.
I'm getting probed in the back, and I'm getting probed in the front.
As long as it's not an alien probe.
Yeah. We'll see. Say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop this recording.
Goodnight, Joel.
Dun, dun, dun. Starting all the recording. Looking at, let's see what this is 9:58. Damn it. Over here. All right. Cat just needs some attention.
Yes, he does.
Crawling on the computer table. Getting in the way.
It's like, but Dad, I want some pets.
Ooh. Actually, gonna find the one little puddle that's not cleaned up in the basement from the torrential downpour that we had for 15 minutes the other day. Now she's gonna drink it. There we are.
Didn't landlord supposed to fix that shit?
What? The leaking?
Did yeah.
They ain't gonna fix that. I mean, it's just, if it rains like really, really hard or a lot, it'll seep in here and then we'll get a couple little puddles. There's short of redoing the whole basement, which they're not gonna do. I don't know how they're gonna fix that.
These 90s are killing me. Huh.
The what's are killing you? Your 90s?
90s. It's hot.
Oh. Don't you have air conditioning?
Yeah. Which means I ain't going nowhere, but...
All right. All right, I guess we better start this show.
The Maybe. Air conditioning's been running all day, though. That's how hot it is.
Is it humid, too?
Yep.
Nice time to jump in the pool. Does your community have a pool?
We do, but it's definitely closed by now.
Oh. So by living there, are you automatically a member or do you have to pay?
We pay. Last year we all bought memberships, but I think this year we, just the wife and my son did, and they figured they do that because I probably won't go as often. Which is true. It's just the reality of, you know, having a job, you know. So whenever I want to go, we'll just pay the whatever it is, like the guest fee, and I'll be the guest.
Yeah, we have a family membership to the pool. And my daughter's on the swim team. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. We're ready to start this show. This is 9:58, right? 9:58.
Yep.
Woo.